I'm going to invite you to take your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Daniel, the third chapter. Daniel chapter 3, please. We have been studying through the book of Matthew of late, but the Lord placed on my heart this week to draw your attention with me to the third chapter of the book of Daniel. I'd like to bring a message that I simply entitled The Benefits of Burning. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, we're going to begin our reading in the 14th verse, where the Word of God says, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast in the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is it that God? Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it so be, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were with him in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto him, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. And they have no hurt. The form of the fourth is like the Son of God. May God help us as we look in his word at a familiar story to discover those things that should be tender to our hearts this morning. Let's ask his blessing as we pray together, please. Father, I pray that your blessings would be upon us as we look together this morning at a passage that we've seen often. Help us to look at it as if for the first time. May we see the truths that are here for us to enjoy, to consider, to learn from. Oh God, I pray that each person in this room this morning would pay careful attention as the Spirit of God would be our teacher, that we go out from this place better able to serve you. Father, I pray that you would help us to seize the opportunity that these days represent. And Lord, I pray that this day, if there be anyone in this room who doesn't know Christ as Savior, that this would be the day of salvation. Thank you, Father, for drawing us together through the power of the Spirit of God, through the authority of the Word of God, through the fellowship of the believer, through the sense of your presence in this place this day. Lord, I pray now for the confused and for the troubled that you'd bring clarity through your word. For Lord, you are the light, and we seek that light. We want to represent that light. We would desire to use your word in these days of opportunity to cast a net broadly and see many come to Christ as Savior. So bless the power of your word this morning, and we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. As a person reads through the book of Daniel, they discover that the third chapter begins very abruptly. It begins, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold. The context gives absolutely no warning of the calamity that's about to befall Daniel's three faithful friends. There's no transition. There's no buffer. There are no warning lights. And that's how it is with trials. Trials come suddenly. They come unexpectedly. We simply don't know what a day will bring. Those who read the story of the sovereignly appointed suffering that's discovered here in Daniel chapter 3 are simply confronted by a monstrous image that King Nebuchadnezzar has made and placed on the plains of Dura. And I'm sure as we read this story, our minds should agree with the songwriter who said, "I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty. But the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that is my portion may be through the flame or the flood, but his presence goes before me, and I'm covered in his blood." Because we live in a land of religious freedom, we find it almost impossible to understand the significance of the scene that's painted for us by the Spirit of God in Daniel chapter 3. The sixth verse provides that awful threat. Nebuchadnezzar says, "Whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the burning fiery furnace." There it is. Bow or burn. Have you ever faced such an insurmountable difficulty that you doubted God's care? Have you ever been so burdened that your belief in God seems to be threatened? Imagine the thoughts that are going through the minds of our beleaguered heroes here in Daniel chapter 3. As Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have heard the decision of King Nebuchadnezzar, who has amazing power and the power of life and death over them. He has given a commandment that everyone is going to fall down and worship his way. I tend to wonder what went through the minds of these three Jewish heroes. Perhaps they thought God's going to stop the king's misdirected decree. But God didn't stop the king's misdirected decree. Okay, they thought, the construction's ongoing, but we're not going to get an invitation. We're not going to have to stand out there with the rest of the rulers of the province. But they did get an invitation, and they did have to stand out there with the rest of the rulers of the province. Maybe they thought, it's 60 feet tall, it's only 6 feet wide. God's going to let that image fall over like Dagon fell over when the Ark of the Covenant came into his temple. But the construction process proceeded and the image did not topple over. Maybe they thought, God's going to mute King Nebuchadnezzar's ragtime band. This praise and worship service that he has planned, the electrical accompaniment is going to be snuffed out. Wrong. When the band began to play, everyone could hear it. Maybe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thought this. Okay, we'll stand up, but no one will see us. God's going to blind them all like he blinded the men outside the door of Lot's house in Sodom. You ever wished you could stand for God and nobody see you? But they did see them. Maybe Nebuchadnezzar's going to change his mind. We've been so faithful to him that he's not really going to put us in the fire. But he really was going to put them in the fire. Some of you are familiar with the name Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. She widely published the theory of five steps of grieving. In her theory of five steps, with which I don't agree with everything, she talks about the first step of grieving is the step of denial. I know something of that. Some in this room know something of that. Just a few weeks ago, as we stood out on Keystone Parkway and received word that loved ones were no longer with us, many minds went into denial. I remember calling family members and having them actually call me back to say, "Did we really hear what we think you said?" I think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were living with this kind of denial. This can't be. This is some kind of dream. We're going to wake up and all this stuff is going to go away. God, why? We've been faithful here. You allowed us to be torn away from our families when we were just young people to come and reside here. We've been nothing but a blessing to the king. God, why? Oh, but listen, friends. God had a purpose in it all. He wanted to show the nation of Israel that what he promised to them in Isaiah 43 is true. He said, "When you walk through the waters, I'm going to go with you. And when you go through the fires, they're not going to overcome you. And you're not going to be burned." And for these millennia, the nation of Israel has walked through the fire and known God's promise, even as it was portrayed in the lives of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But more than that, God wanted for us personally throughout the generations to be able to look back at this passage and say there is a blessed Savior who cares. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were right in the middle of God's will, right in the middle of an awful trial. In fact, by the time we come to the 25th verse, even the king is going to say, didn't we cast in three men? I see four. And we discover, of course, that the blessed Savior is walking with them in the fire. This story that is told in Daniel chapter 3 is known around the world. Years ago, I had the privilege of preaching in the southernmost part of India in a village where banana plantations and the workers of those plantations were illiterate, had very little by way of copies of the Word of God. And I thought as I walked that hour and a half into that banana plantation after the road ended, what shall I preach? And I brought them to Daniel chapter 3. Over 100 former Hindus residing in that place and going to that church. And I asked them the question, how many in this church this morning have ever heard of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And as I asked the question there in India, every hand in the church went up. I asked the question today, how many have heard of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Let's see your hands. God put this story here. 2,500 years ago it happened, but it happened for our benefit. Are you familiar with the benefits of burning that this story presents? For Shadrach, for Meshach, and Abednego, four great benefits came through their burning. Let me just allude to them quickly and then focus on them carefully. As I look in this text, I discover that when we go through times of burning, our focus is directed. When we go through times of burning and trial, our fellowship is deepened. When we go through times of burning and trial, real spiritual freedom can be discovered. And when we go through times of burning and trials, faithfulness comes to be displayed in remarkable fashion. And so it is for each of us today. When the flames encircle and the burning begins, there are benefits that we ought to ponder. There's a spiritual work that God is doing that is greater than anything our minds could ever imagine. Note with me then first that the flames will direct your focus. Look at the 23rd verse. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. What do you think was crossing their minds as they fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace? You think they were thinking about the Babylonian Braves and what the most recent box score was? Maybe the Chaldean Cardinals were going to be playing them soon, and boy, they hated to miss that game. You think they were wondering about their investments in the Babylonian stock market, whether they would be secure even if they were not there to monitor them? Maybe one of them was thinking, I left the iron on at home when I was ironing my robe for this thing today. I hope there's an automatic shutoff feature. No. Those were not the thoughts of their minds. How do we know? Because we all know that when we go through trials, God has a way of directing our focus. It's in the time of trial that God directs our focus away from the temporal and on to the eternal. That which is insignificant fades. That which is most significant comes to the forefront. The Lord does that by deepening our focus in times of trial. 3 weeks ago today, as our family was taking the most direct route from our home to this church, I knew that we'd be passing a blemish just off the interstate on the Keystone Parkway. And so I said to my family members in the car, I want you to look at that. As you look at it, I have something to say. That's not real. That's temporary. God's going to take care of that. You see, 2 Corinthians says in chapter 4 and verse 18, we look not at the things that are seen, but we look at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal. But the things that are not seen, those are the things that are eternal. 2 Peter says it this way in chapter 3 and verse 10. The day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat. those scars, not just in our memories, but also on our landscapes, are going to be reduced to ashes by the power of His might. You know, when we go through trials, we ought to be looking for that which is eternal, not that which is temporal. God redirects our focus. And the flame redirects our focus in another way. The flames direct our focus away from self and onto the Savior. When there is no strength in us, and the trial comes, when our human mind cannot absorb it, and our emotions cannot take it, there is a Savior who is strong in the day of adversity. Is there someone here who might say amen to that? This pastor's heart says amen to it. I shouldn't embarrass my sons who are here this morning, but one of them, I'll keep his identity anonymous, but his first name is Caleb. When he was little, when we went to the parade, I still remember the Thanksgiving parade always ended with Santa Claus at the end, and so he wanted to see Santa Claus, and we were having a great time as the candy was being thrown off the different floats that were going through the parade, and then suddenly I felt something on my leg and then up my side, right here next to my neck, and I had a quivering body of a preschooler, and it was Caleb. I said, "What's the matter, buddy?" And I could tell he was frightened to death. "What's the matter, buddy?" And he said, in good preschool vocabulary, "I don't yike cowns. I don't yike cowns." Somebody's pulled one over on children the world over. Nobody likes clowns. Seriously, really. They're scary people. But as the clowns went by, my son did that which is intuitive. He looked for security in the place of despondency and fear. Even so, when the fears surround me and they surround you, how we turn from self and turn to the Savior. We turn to the one who is our high priest, who has been touched with the feelings of our infirmities and was all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Friend, it's not easy to count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptation. But I think it's something like the scene in the doctor's office when the child sees the needle and looks immediately for mom. When we see the adversity, we cling, we clutch, we cry. And he embraces, and he comforts, and he soothes, for he is the God of all comfort. Oh, dear Christian friend, let the flames redirect your focus. Don't be asking, "Why, God?" The poet well said, "The cry of earth's anguish went up to God, Lord, take away pain. The shadow that darkens the world that thou hast made, the close coiling chain that strangles the heart, the burden that weighs on the wings that would soar. Lord, take away pain from the world that thou hast made, that it may love thee more." That answered the Lord to the world he has made, "Shall I take away pain? With it the power of soul to endure made strong in strife? Shall I take away pity that knits heart to heart and sacrifice high? Will you lose all your heroes who lift from the flames white brows to the sky? Shall I take away love that redeems with a price and smiles through the loss? Can you spare from the lives that would climb into mine the Christ of the cross?" Believers benefit from burning. In burning, God directs your focus. There's a second benefit I'd have you look and find in the text with me this morning. It's this. The flame will deepen your fellowship. The flame will deepen your fellowship. There's something very important happening between verses 12 and verse 30 in Daniel chapter 3. You see it here in the middle of verse 12, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Verse 13, Shadrach, Meshach, and as the child said in Sunday school, "To bed we go." Verse 14, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Verse 19, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Verse 20. You know, 13 times between the 12th verse and the 30th verse, which ends, "And the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego," those names are found. I'm fascinated by that because I know that the book of Daniel would have been written on leather, vellum, very expensive. Words were chosen very carefully, unlike our computer age where we just stick it out there in cyberspace. Every one of these Every one of these words is important. 13 times the Spirit of God is inspiring Daniel to write those names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Why? It's as if the Spirit of God wants to remind us that the people of God are always precious to the person of God. In fact, Isaiah says, we're so precious that he's engraved us on his hands. And so as I look in this text, the furnace of adversity for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was real. It was hot. But oh, the sweetness of the fellowship that they discovered. For in verse 23, Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spoke to his counselors and said, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? And they answered and said, true, O king. And he answered, lo, I see four men. Four men? Yes, four men walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. There are two lessons that ought to immediately come to mind as we see their fellowship being deepened, and we pray, dear God, increase my fellowship as well. The first is this: you should be in no hurry when God puts you in the furnace. Isn't it interesting? So unnatural, the 25th verse. These in the fire were walking. You ever walk on sand without shoes? I have. I don't like it very much. Wouldn't recommend it. I jump and I want to get off of there. These men were in the fire, and yet they were walking. Totally against nature, totally in the power of the Spirit, totally growing in the experience as their fellowship is being deepened like no other time in their life. Let me take you to a couple of passages that I've been in recently. Come back with me to the book of Psalms. And let me recommend to every believer in every trial that you ever face that you find your way into the book of Psalms and other portions of God's Word, some unfamiliar to you, some becoming familiar to you, some known long ago. Come to the 9th chapter of the book of Psalms with me, or the 9th Psalm, please, if you don't mind. As I've been reading through the Psalms in our personal journey, I've been using an orange highlighter, and I'm finding out that sometimes I'm running out of space on the pages. But I highlighted the first two verses of the 9th Psalm. It says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I'll be glad and rejoice in thee. I slowed down when I read that, and I wrote by it a decision that I must make. I came to the 10th Psalm. At the end of the 10th Psalm, the 15th, the 14th verse, a phrase leapt off the page, Psalm 10, verse 14, thou art the helper of the fatherless. And I wrote my grandson's name to that wonderful promise. The 18th verse, you're the judge of the fatherless and the oppressed. The 11th Psalm, the first verse, in the Lord do I put my trust. The 13th Psalm, the 6th verse, I will sing of the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. And I wrote again, a decision. The 16th Psalm, the 6th verse, how I thank the Lord for this. The lines are falling to me in pleasant places, no matter how deep the fire. When one looks around and realizes the blessings that God has given, there's no fire that can quench God's blessings. The lines are falling upon me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. The 18th Psalm, the 1st verse, I will love the Lord, for he is my strength, he is my rock, he is my fortress, he is my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation. And so it goes. As we walk through the fire, we discover that the slow-paced become more sensitized, and the Spirit of God whispers peace. Come back with me to Daniel chapter 3. There's a second lesson that we need to learn as God deepens our fellowship. That lesson is this: we simply need to be submissive. We need to be submissive when he puts us into the furnace. You know, so often we miss the blessings that adversity and calamity, so-called, would have brought. Somehow we fail to see that the pathway of pain is going to lead us to a garden of God's wonderful pleasures. And when the Lord is with us in the fire, the place of pain becomes a paradise. Somebody said the Christian life's like a tea bag. You really don't know what's inside till you put it in the heat and give it a hard squeeze. And then we learn, like the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 71, it was good for me that I was afflicted, that that I might learn thy statutes. It's in the time of pain and suffering and fires that we learn what the poet said so well when he said, my life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the colors that he works so skillfully. Oft times he weaveth sorrow, and I in my foolish pride forget he sees the upper and I see the underside. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hands as the thread of gold and silver in the pattern that he has planned. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttle ceases to fly shall God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why. Don't be in a hurry, folks. Be submissive. Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Anywhere he leads me in this world below. Anywhere without him, dearest joys will fade. Anywhere with Jesus, I am not afraid. So we've learned the benefit. Our focus is directed properly. Our fellowship is deepened wonderfully. But there's a third benefit that I'd have you discover in Daniel chapter 3, a benefit of burning. In the flames, you really come to discover your freedom. Read again with me verses 26 and 27. Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth from the midst of the fire, and the princes and the governors and the captains and the kings and the counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire passed upon them. Let me ask you some questions. Did their robes burn? No. Did their hair burn? No. Did their headdress burn? No, it didn't burn. What burned? The ropes burned. Those death knots that had been placed so fiercely upon them by the Babylonian soldiers were gone. They had been walking in that furnace into which they'd been thrown headlong. And now when the king summons them to come out, they come out unfettered, unhindered. They have discovered a freedom that the world will never know. Dear Christian friend, remember that it was in a night of wrestling that Jacob discovered the freedom that comes when we quit conniving and begin depending. Remember that when it was in a night of pride when Peter discovered that apart from the power of God, any temptation could make him vulnerable. Remember that Paul and Silas found in a night when they were cast into the prison that the Spirit of God could make them sing, and in that freedom of song could reach others for Christ that they could not reach through their preaching ministry. Discover your freedom in the fire. You see, the deliverance that you may be seeking may come more through the fire than from the fire. This is Charles Haddon Spurgeon, was an invalid for almost 25 years. I appreciate what she said in an article so many years ago. Dear Mrs. Spurgeon said, at the close of a dark and gloomy day, I lay resting on my couch as the deeper night drew on, and though all was bright within my cozy room, some of the external darkness seemed to have entered into my soul and obscured its spiritual vision. In the sorrow of heart, I asked, why does the Lord so deal with me? Why does he permit lingering weakness to hinder the sweet service I long to render to his poor servants? And for a while, silence reigned in the little room, broken only by the crackling of the oak log burning in the fireplace. And suddenly I heard a sweet, soft sound, a little clear musical note, like the tender trill of a robin beneath my window. What can it be? Surely it's not a bird singing out there at this time of the year and during the night. My friend exclaimed, it comes from the log in the fire. The fire was setting loose the imprisoned music from the old oak's inmost heart. Perchance he had garnered up this song the days when all was well with him, when birds twittered merrily in his branches and the soft sunlight flecked his tender leaves with gold. Ah, thought I, when the fire of affliction draws songs of praise from us, then indeed we're purified and our God is glorified. As I mused, the fire burned and my soul found sweet comfort in the parable so strangely set forth before me, singing in the fire. Yes, God helping us, if that's the only way to get harmony out of these hard, apathetic hearts, let the furnace be heated 7 times more. How many here in the last few weeks have had opportunity, we'll do a show of hands, to talk to somebody because of what's happened to our church recently? Let's see your hands. Look around here. Singing in the fire. Singing in the fire. God somehow in the midst of adversity allows us to discover freedom that we've never known before. Freedom to connect. Freedom to share. Freedom to tell. Freedom to serve. Freedom to be putting away all those temporal thoughts and those agitations and those difficulties and those squabbles. Freedom to get away from self and focus on the Savior in a deepness of fellowship that only comes in the flame. Let me share one final benefit with you this morning that the flame brings to the life of the believer. Note with me that the flames will display your faithfulness. The flames will display your faithfulness. Look at verse 28. Verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, says the king, I'm going to make this decree, that every people, nation, and language that speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there's no other god that can deliver like this. And the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The king looked in that fire and he saw something. He saw that the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was real. Their faithfulness was on display and their God was glorified. The Puritans made much of what's called theological numerology. They would have looked at the 19th verse and seen that that fire was heated seven times more and said, see, this is by the Spirit of God a perfect trial. This much I know, that in the perfection and the power of this trial, their faithfulness was on display, so much so that if you page over to the fourth chapter of the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 4, look at the 37th verse. In chapter 3, it ends with Nebuchadnezzar saying, this God that they serve has power to deliver from the fire. The end of the fourth chapter ends with what I believe to be a profession of faith from the world's most powerful king. God sowed a seed in chapter 3 that becomes a full flower in chapter 4, because in verse 37, Nebuchadnezzar is not just calling God the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but Nebuchadnezzar praises and extols and honors the King of Heaven, all whose works of truth and his ways are judgment, and those that walk in pride he is going to abase. Nebuchadnezzar praised and extolled and honored Jehovah God? Nebuchadnezzar extolled and honored and praised the God of the Hebrews? Yes, he did. How did it happen? He looked in that furnace and he saw four walking. Three mortals, one immortal. Three filled with fear, one who brought faith. Three who had longed to have run out from that flame, one who met them in the flame. He saw the pre-incarnate form of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the end of chapter 4, his mind so filled with wonder from what he had witnessed to the display of faithfulness of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that it seems he's given his heart to the Lord himself. Friend, all over the city of Indianapolis today, yea, all over this state and around the world, there are those who have been stirred by what we collectively have been going through. May God help them to see our faithfulness in the midst of the fire. The fiery furnace has always provided a beautiful frame through which God displays His grace, His sufficiency, His power. Take advantage of the moment. He sat by a furnace of sevenfold heat as he watched by the precious ore. And closer he bent with scorching gaze as he heated it more and more. He knew he had one that could stand the test, and he wanted the finest gold to mold as a crown for the king to wear, set with gems of price untold. So he laid our gold in the burning fire, though we fain would have said to him, nay. And he watched the dross that he had not seen as it melted, and it passed away, and the gold grew brighter and yet more bright. But our eyes were so dim with tears, we saw but the fire, not the master's hand, and we questioned with anxious fears. Yet our gold shone out with a richer glow as it mirrored the form from above that bent toward the fire, the one seen by us with looks of ineffable love. Can we think that it pleases his loving heart to cause us a moment's pain? Ah, no, but we saw through the present loss the bliss of eternal gain. So he waited there with a watchful eye, with a love that's strong and sure, and his gold did not suffer a whit more heat than was needed to make it pure. Will you flee from the flame, or will you fellowship there? Will you embrace the power of the pain, or remain puzzled by it? Will you say, Lord, I will submit and surrender that my tongue might be the tongue of grace to share a message that someone else needs, that Jesus Christ saves and he keeps and he satisfies, that God's grace is sufficient. Someone here today needs to bow the knee to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm in a place of pain. I want you to make it a place of power. I want your person to be sufficient. I want your blessings to pour out, even as they poured out through Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Will you stand with me, please, as we pray? Lord, we confess that we are emotionally raw, and yet we desire that you would make us spiritually fit. And this morning, Lord, I pray for those who have gathered in this wonderful place and discovered in the pages of your word that working that only you can do. Oh, Lord, I pray that someone in this place today would surrender to the Spirit of God, would come and on bended knee simply say, Lord, make me one of those vessels that you can use. Don't let me run through the furnace. Help me to walk there. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed and no one looking around this morning. In a moment, Brother Ben's going to sing our invitation song. He's going to sing about God's refining fire. Now, when an invitation is given, you have a choice that you can make. You can stand where you are and be ministered unto, or you could step out from where you are and say, Lord, I'm coming today because I've listened to the Spirit of God has taught me something, and I need to surrender something in my life that I can be a further blessing even in a time of pain. I trust someone to be willing to say, Lord, help me be one of those messengers who fans the flame. Help me to be one who takes a brochure, who takes the time to talk to a neighbor, who opens up a conversation with a fellow employee. Maybe today you'd be willing to say, as you come and bow the knee before the Lord, Lord, I'm making that commitment today. I'm not going to run through this trial. I'm going to walk through it. I'm not going to be in a hurry. I'm going to learn through it. And Lord, I want to be used through it like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to touch someone else for Christ just as they touched the heart of Nebuchadnezzar. That my faithfulness would be displayed and your power would be granted. There may be someone here this morning who's never trusted Christ as Savior. You've come into this room and you've sensed in this place today there's something real and you want it. You want forgiveness of sin. You want a home in heaven. You want the power of God, which alone can sustain. If that's your desire today, Pastor Keith's going to be here at the front. If you come and put your hand in his, he'll have someone take you to a private place and show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you can go to heaven when you die. As Ben sings this morning, dear Christian, if you need to come and on bended knee, make a commitment to God to benefit from the burning, won't you come? Don't delay. Don't let pride get in the way. In a sensitive time, as the Spirit of God speaks to your heart, would you seize the moment and say, I want the Lord to work through me to the benefit of others, to the power of the gospel. Right now, God's perhaps putting on your heart the name, the face of some loved one that you need to talk to. You know, that time is going to fade away very quickly. So make a commitment today, won't you, as you come, just bend the knee before the Lord. Make a commitment to say, I want to talk to that person. I want to be in the center of God's will, even when the center of God's will is a difficult place. As Ben sings, we're going to invite you to come, please.
Oh, Lord, we pray thy will be done. Our Master, here am I. We pray you'd do a mighty work, that to the flesh we'd die. And when the answer comes to us in form of trial and test, we fail to see your loving hand. Refining fire is best. God's refining fire. God's refining fire. May it purge me now and make of me what you require. Oh Lord, feed the fire, your refining fire. Now as gold and silver must be tried, Lord, may my heart be purified. Lord, send your great refining fire, that I may stand when you appear. Abide till your return. Oh, place the fire perfectly, that all the dross be burned. Whether furnace of affliction, Lord, or unfulfilled desire, bring forth a vessel pure and tried by your refining fire. God's refining fire, God's refining fire. May it purge me now and make of me what you require. Oh Lord, feed the fire, your refining fire. Now as gold and silver must be tried, Lord, may my heart be purified. Lord, send your great refining fire.